Please, to the book of John, chapter 21, 21st chapter of the book of John. Just a simple observation. Verse number 4, and when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Jesus stood on the shore. But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Amen. I'd like to, for the next few moments, talk about Jesus on the sea and on the shore. Jesus on the sea and on the shore. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We have preached many times about Jesus walking on the sea. And it bears preaching about. Not only did Jesus walk on the sea, but the Bible said that he walked on the sea in a storm. Amen. I would say that many people come to know Jesus when their life is in the midst of a storm. Most people know Jesus out of a time of crisis. They come to know the Lord in stormy times. Amen. But I want you to know today that he's not only the Jesus of the storm. He's not only the Jesus on the sea, but he's Jesus on the shore. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, there is an incident where Jesus had sent his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he did not go with them. But he did the next best thing. When he did not go with them, he sent his word with them. The word of God is just as powerful as the presence of God. Amen. You can put just as much confidence in God's word as you can in his presence. So when the Lord said, go to the other side, they were going with a promise that they would arrive on the other side. Amen. I appreciate the faith of the centurion that came to Jesus, whose servant was sick. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the man said, no, Lord. He said, I am not worthy that you should enter into my house. He said, but I am a man under authority. Amen. And I am a man of authority. He said, I say to one man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. Amen. He said, but if you'll just speak the word, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes we get so accustomed to the presence of God that we fail to act on the word of God. And we get so used to, so accustomed to the presence of God that we don't value enough the word of God. But friend, whether you feel his presence or not, if you have his word, it's enough. Jesus said, go to the other side. And that meant what it said. It meant you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whether I'm with you or not, whether I'm on board or not, you still have the same assurance that you're going to arrive safely because I told you to the go. The Bible says he did not go with them, but he watched them. When you cannot see him, he can still see you. When you do not know he's watching, he's still watching. He's still looking. Amen. He's still observing. The Bible said he watched them toiling in the midst of the storm. And then the scripture says, and he came to them. Amen. Anybody remember when he came to you? Hallelujah. I remember when he came to me. And when he makes his presence known, it's unforgettable. When he arrives on the scene, you'll never forget it. It was forever etched into the minds of the disciples when they saw him walking on the sea, walking on the waves, walking in the tempest on his way to their aid. He came walking on the sea. Amen. It was not a great thing for him. Amen. He could walk there just as well as anywhere else. Amen. And I love this. I think Jesus had a great sense of humor. He looks at these guys and they're scared to death. And he looks at them and he says, "Hey, be of good cheer." Just like he's out for an afternoon stroll or an evening stroll. Walking on the water as if it's no big deal. "Hey, be of good cheer." Amen. "It is I. Be not afraid." But if I was out rowing in the middle of a dark night in the storm and somebody come walking on the water and said that to me, I'd just about be raptured on the spot. "What in the world are you doing out here?" Amen. And the Bible said they were even more afraid. Then they thought it was sure enough a spirit. And it was, but it had a body on it. Amen. Praise God. And so he says, "Don't be afraid." The little boy was in the skit, you know, he had that part. And he forgot his lines. He said, "Don't get scared, it's just me." That was that serve, same purpose. Amen. Same thing. "Don't be scared, it's just me." And so they invited him. And Peter, of course, you know Peter, impetuous man. He said, "Lord," he said, "if that's you bid me to come walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, a lot of folks have criticized Peter for sinking, but they don't even get out of the boat. He bailed out. And he started walking to Jesus on the water. And he was doing good. And he got his eyes off and he started looking around and seeing the waves and feeling the wind and watching the lightning, hearing the thunder. And like many of us, he became afraid. Amen. Praise God. He forgot the word, didn't he? He forgot the promise. He forgot the invitation. He forgot who said it. And when we forget those things, we're in trouble. If we'll remember those things, we're going to be all right. Amen. He kept walking on the waves toward Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said he picked him up. And, "Oh, you have little faith." This is a little disappointed. And got him back in the ship, and immediately they were at land. I'm just saying the day when you have a storm in your life, he'll be there. But don't just reserve Jesus for storms. Some people treat Jesus like a spare tire. When they have a flat, they take him out. And they put him on. And he gets them out of trouble. And once they get everything straightened out, they stick him back in the trunk again. And say, "Next time I have trouble, Lord, I'll call on you to help me get out of it." What a way to live a life. Some people live from crisis to crisis simply because they've never learned that the Jesus of the sea is Jesus on the shore. Amen. This incident we're talking about here today from the 21st chapter of John. It was after the resurrection of Jesus and after the crucifixion, of course. The Bible said that the disciples were together. Simon was the impetuous one. Thomas, he was the doubter. Nathanael, he was the skeptic. Sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were the sons of thunder. And I don't know who the other two were, it doesn't say. But quite a bunch, huh? And then Simon said to them, he said, "I go a fishing." I don't know about this disciple business. I don't know about this business that my world is disillusioned. I'm disappointed with the whole thing. I don't understand any of it anymore. You ever kind of been there? Have you ever been in that lull and it's not exciting anymore? Nobody's being healed. There's no lame men leaping. There's no blind men seeing. There's no deaf ears unstopped. There's no lepers being cleansed. It's just all kind of daily. It just calls for some faithfulness. You know, it's easy to live for God in exciting times. And we like exciting times. But most of life's not like that. And even those exciting times, folks, are not good for the one that's hurting. It might be exciting to see somebody heal, but it's not pleasant to be the one that's sick. It might be exciting to watch God bless somebody that's in a great trial, but it's not pleasant for the one that's in the trial. God did not put us in this to be entertained. He's with us in the daily times, in the mundane times. That's just Jesus on the shore. Amen. He's with us every day. He's with you when you get up and go to work. And you just have a normal day. Anybody have normal days? Not exciting days. Is that all right? Is the Lord with you then? Amen. That's when He's with you as well. And it's good to just learn how to enjoy the fellowship on those days. Just enjoy His presence and enjoy His Word just in the simple times. But Peter got a little discouraged here, and he said, if there's one thing I know, man, it's fishing. I know about fishing. So I'm going to go back to doing what I know how to do. So he gets in his boat and he goes fishing. Guess what? He found that fishing wasn't the same without Jesus. Couldn't even do that right. The Bible said they fished all night. And they caught. Life without the Lord. Once you've tasted the goodness of God, life will never be the same. Once you've known Him, it'll never be the same. Praise God. It was awfully bland. It just wasn't the same. There was nothing there. The spark was gone. The joy was gone. Amen. There was nothing in it for them. They fished all night, and they hadn't caught a thing. But as the night drew to a close and the morning was beginning to dawn, and they rowed toward the shore, the Bible says they saw a fire and they saw a man. And a voice came ringing across the morning chill, and it said, children, have you any meat? Did you catch anything? Amen. And they said, no, we didn't catch a thing. And so the carpenter calls out to the fisherman, and he says, if you'll cast on the right side, you'll find. Everybody say, on the right side. Most of them been fishing on the wrong side. He said, but if you'll cast on the right side, you're going to find what you're looking for. And so the scripture said, when he said that, something began to beat in Peter's heart, and the old clogs in his brain began to turn again. And he said, I remember a time about 3 years ago. There was a little carpenter that came down, began to teach, stepped out in my boat, did some teaching. And when he got through preaching, he said, let's go fishing. And we rowed out, and he said, cast on the right side. And when we did that, he said, we caught so many fish that our nets began to break. He said, I think it might be the same one. So they launched out a little bit, and they let down the nets. And the Bible said that the fish began to hit the nets, and the nets got so full they had to call for help. They couldn't get them all in the boat. Boy, now that's quite a fishing trip. You talk about a fish story. Hey, man, I've heard some good fish stories, but that's a good one there. Hey, man, when you get so many, your boat won't hold them all. And so he's calling for help. And the Bible said, Peter said in his own heart, he said, it's the Lord. And he forgot the fish. And he bailed out of the boat. And he started making his way to the shore. You can say what you want to about Peter, but whenever he knew the Lord, he got involved, friend. Amen. He couldn't wait to see him. The boat was too slow. I've got to get to where he is. So he bails out of the boat and he makes his way toward the shore. Amen. You need Jesus on the shore, just like you need Jesus on the sea. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says he just issued a little invitation to them. He said, come and dine. We sang it this morning. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Amen. And that's still true today. Whatever hunger you have, he can satisfy. And only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You can try everything else and it will not satisfy. How do you know that, preacher? Because we've tried it. We've tried it. And nothing else worked. I've been on that side and I've tried that side. Why don't you try this side? Before you get too critical, you try this side. You try it for yourself. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, when you try him and you allow him to fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit, it's going to satisfy you like nothing in your life has ever satisfied you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you'll be singing like the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Once you get it on the inside, friend, your life's not ever going to be the same. But you got to try it for yourself. Don't take my word for it or anybody else's. You need to try it for yourself. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time this morning. Jesus is not only the master of storms. So many people live from crisis to crisis and never understand that you can have him every day. He'll not only walk on the sea, he'll walk with you on the shore. Amen. Praise God. A missionary related the story of some people who lived on an island. And of course, the sea was their life. And fishing was their life. And swimming was their life. All of those things were their life. And so he noticed after these people had been saved that they were not going back in the water like they used to. And so he asked them one day, he said, I've noticed that you don't go out in the water anymore. What's going on? And they said, well, he said, we're not sure that Jesus will go with us in the water. And if he won't go, we're not going. Amen. I appreciate their sincerity. And that's so wonderfully sincere. But you know what? He can go with you in the water. And he'll go with you on the shore. Wherever you go, he's there. Jesus is simply the everyday God. He's not just a Sunday God and a Wednesday night Bible study God. He's an everyday God. He'll go with you everywhere you go. Amen. And if he doesn't want to go there, I would recommend you don't go either. There'll be some places that you just won't go anymore. There'll be some things that you'll just not do anymore. There'll be some things that you'll just not say anymore. There'll be a difference in your life, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Amen. Because when Jesus comes, peace and joy and righteousness come in. And it makes a difference in the life. There's no more storm in the heart. You can be in the middle of the storm but have peace that passes understanding, joy that is unspeakable, and righteousness that'll bring you through though unrighteousness is all around. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus of the shore today. He brings stability to life. He brings power and security to life. He's everything that you need today. Amen. Praise God. You need Jesus on the sea, and you need him just as much on the shore. He's the one that brings meaning and purpose to ordinary days. Praise God. Why don't you let him in today? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Amen. How about inviting him in right now? How about just inviting him in right now? Let me open this altar for prayer this morning. If you want him to come in, why don't you just step out, walk down to this altar in front of this pulpit today, and just tell him, Lord, I really need you in my life. I may not be in a storm right now, but I need you just as much when I'm standing on the shore. I need you just as much in the everyday affairs of life. It doesn't have much meaning without you. There's not any real joy or any peace without you. There's not really any meaning or purpose without you. I need you today to give that to me and make my life worthwhile. That's what he brings. How about it? Somebody come on right now. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's all right. Let's just come today. Church, why don't you just step out and just tell the Lord one more time this morning. Justin responded to his word, I need you every day. We may not be running aisles and shouting and running on pews here this morning, but Jesus, I want you to know that I want you in the calm times as well as in the stormy times. I need you every day. I need you in every way. I need you right now. I just want to fellowship with you this morning. I want to tell you that I appreciate you. I want to thank you that every day is not a storm. I'm thankful that you're the master of storms. Amen. But I'm glad that I don't live in a storm. Praise God, I'm glad that every day is not troublesome. But thank you because you're with me on the shore. You're just there. When I'm weary, when I've labored, and nothing's worked out, you're still there. When I feel like everything is flat, you're still there. When I feel empty and everything's useless, you're still there. Amen. When I'm hungry and weary, you're waiting with rest and nourishment. Amen. We're waiting with the invitation. Come and die. You're always there to replenish, restore, refresh, encourage and uplift. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.